Kof Beis Teves, Tuesday the 9th of January, by Rabbi Sholem Segal. Lice on Shabbos, the conflict between Torah and science.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
There's a Yesod brought down in many Sforim that the 10 Makos, the Makos which we start this week, 7 of them come in this week's Parasha, Parashas Vayera. The 10 Makos have a close correlation to the 10 Ma'amorim with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. In the Sefer Or Gedalia, Rabbi Gedalia Shor, he explains, the Pshat is like this. The Mishnah says in Oblis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with 10 Ma'amorim, and he asked, but surely HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have orchestrated it all with one Ma'amor. So why did he do it with 10 Ma'amorim? Answers the Mishnah, K'deidit Tzokot Tevra Tzadikim, in order there should be a mockum for rewards and retribution. So Rav Gedalia Shor explains, the pshat is like this, that every maimar created a veil behind which HaKadosh Baruch Hu concealed his identity. Had the world been created with one maimar, it would have been so crystal clear to all that there was a Borei Olam, there was somebody who was Mashgiach Al HaKol, somebody who was running the world, pulling the strings, there wouldn't have been a mockum for Bechira. There wouldn't have been a place for free choice. It would have been like Malachim, seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu so clearly, if there's no Bechira, there's no real place for Sechar V'Einash. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it with 10 Ma'amorim, 10 veils. Now his identity is somewhat concealed. For those who want to look at the world without ulterior motives, they'll see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those who don't want to will not see Hashem. There's now a mockum for Bechira. So as Rabbi Gedalia Shor, one time in the history of mankind, HaKadosh Baruch Hu peeled away each of those veils. And that was in Mitzrayim with the 10 Makos. And therefore he says it works backwards. Dam was peeling away the outermost layer, the 10th minor. Tzvardeya would be peeling away the 9th veil. That corresponds to Na'aseh Odom, the creation of man. And the 3rd Makos, that is Kinim, will correspond to the 8th minor. That's all. Vayomer Kim Tzeo Oretz Nefesh Chayol Imino Behimo Voremes, the creation of the animal kingdom on the 6th day of creation. And the question is obviously, what is the connection between Kinim and the creation of the animal kingdom? I'm hoping we'll have time to get to that later on, but if not, that's some food for thought. So to begin, at least begin heading towards answering that, I want to focus on a Gemara which comes in Shabbos, Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. There's a Sugya Yud Beis Amud Aleph there. And then it's Paskin, the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Tes, Zayin, Seif Tes. And that is that the Gemara concludes, although there are differing opinions in the Gemara, but it is absolutely Mutar L'Chatzchila on Shabbos to kill what are accepted to be kinim, to be lice. There is a Machlokes Rishonim, Tosfos brings on Yud Beis. Some understand it's fleas, others understand it's lice. The Rabbeinu Tam says it's lice, and that's the way it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The rationale is, because since all Malachos of Shabbos are ultimately based on the malachos of the Mishkan, so the malacha of Netilas Neshama, the malacha of killing something on Shabbos, is learned from the Shechita of the Edim Ma'adomim, the special rams which were used. Their hides were taken to create the coverings for the Mishkan. And therefore the Gemara says like this, if Ma, the Edim Ma'adomim, are a min, are a species which are pora v'rova, they reproduce in the sense of male, female, mating, etc., so too, the Isser of Netilas Neshama only applies to something, a min, a species, where it is part of a robber. Lafuke coming to exclude lice, which is the way we'll take on today, because apparently they are not the subject of Piri of Arivio. Seemingly what Chazal had in mind was, they are the result of spontaneous generation. Meaning to say that you've got a rotting piece of meat, you've got perspiration there, lack of hygiene, and they simply just appear. So therefore, it is mutter to kill them on Shabbos. Now, although the Chavis Yoyeh, already in a Sefer Makor Chaim, has been pointed out, he seems to be meramis to the issue, the problem with this, it was made sort of more well known in this, perhaps more, it's more well known, the objection to it was in the Sefer Pachad Yitzchok. And I don't mean Rabbi Yitzchok Hutner, we're talking about the Pachad Yitzchok, which was more, he was born more than 300 years ago. He was an Italian godel, Rabbi Yitzchok Rafael Chizkiah Lam Pronti, something like that was his name. And he asked his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Brill, he said to him that we know today that the whole concept, The scientists are telling us that spontaneous generation simply is a myth. It doesn't exist. Everything comes from X, comes from Zohar and Akiva, and therefore it simply doesn't exist. Therefore, he wanted to propose that had Chazal known the Enes, had they known that lice do come from Piri or Berivia, they would have been masking that Taka it's also to kill them on Shabbos, and therefore he says, since we're talking about Cheshishani Mechatos, which Be'emes is a little bit of, seemingly is a bit of an exaggeration, because it's definitely a Malach Hashem that's Tzricha Legufa, you don't need the lice, you don't want them for any purpose, but the mice we're talking about serious Isurim, and therefore he wanted to propose that it should be also to kill lice on Shabbos, which would obviously be earth-shattering, because that means for the last 2,000 years people have been Mechal Shabbos, based on a mistake. So Rabbi Yonah Brill responded to him, he said, don't bother accepting what the scientists tell you. How many times have you seen that they've said something and then with the passage of time they've been proven wrong? And he says, and even without that anyway, it doesn't really make a difference. We accept what Chazal said and that's it.
And it seems the Pachad Yitzchak, he accepted that. He wrote back and he accepted it. He said, if that's the case, Fotla Dati. And very good, therefore it's mutter to kill lice on Shabbos. This sentiment was echoed in Michtam Eliyahu. Rabbi Aryeh Carmel, he records in Chedek Dalida in the Mechtovim at the back, he records something he heard directly from Rav Dessler explaining these issues. He brings three examples. This is one of the examples where the Metzias we know today does not seem to match up with what Chazal described. And Rav Dessler, and I'm just going to concentrate on the lice, Rav Dessler says it doesn't really make a difference. He writes, Loya Hezber Machayev Es Hadin. The explanation, the rationale given, does not obligate, does not decide the halacha. Rather, Elul HaHepach, it's the other way around. Hadin of Mechayev HaEsbah. When you know the halacha, which Chazal knew through Kabbalah, they knew it. They had in the Torah, this is the halacha. So now go look and try and understand why that is. So it says Rav Dessler, you've got a problem with it. Chazal explained it through, call it spontaneous generation. If it doesn't match up with the Metzias today, fine. Doesn't change the halacha. It doesn't mean to say that's the actual only sole reason for the halacha. So you've got a problem, let's try and explain it differently. That doesn't change the halacha. To try and understand what he says, to better understand this idea, let me draw on a quite a famous piece of the Beis Halevi, which if you haven't heard it, people sort of find this very, very difficult to digest. And that is that the Beis Halevi in next week's Sedra, in Parashas Bo, when the son who's She'enei De'alishol, the Ben She'enei De'alishol, he comes to his father and it says, Ve'gav Solovincha, he doesn't have to ask, so you be proactive. What should you say to him? So they got saw the vincho by him ahu leimar, but avur ze osa Hashem li b'tzitzim emitzroy. So Rebbe the Ben Ezra asks, what's going on over here? You take hold of the Korban Pesach and you say to him, but avur ze, because of this, or for us today, the matzah, because of this matzah, because of this Pesach, that's why osa Hashem li b'tzitzim emitzroy. That's why Hashem acted and took us out of Mitzrayim. What do you mean? It's the other way around. The reason why we're eating Korban Pesach, the reason why we're eating matzah, is to commemorate what happened all those 3,000 plus years ago. So the Ibn Ezra seems to say something along the lines of Lav Dafka, that's not really what it means. So the Beis Halevi, it means exactly that. He says, Istakil Bo Yiraisil Boro Alma, he says the Torah is the blueprint, not just for creation, it's the blueprint for everything that would occur throughout the passage of time. Avraham Avinu already ate matzah before Klal Yisrael had even thought about going down to Mitzrayim. Before the Malachim had even come, before the Bris Ben Abbasim, he was already eating matzah. Elamai, there are 630 mitzvahs. The Torah was there 2,000 years before creation. The mitzvahs are there independent of the reason that we are given for them. And rather, but avur zeh, because there is a mitzvah to eat Korban Pesach, because there is a mitzvah to eat matzah on Leil Tesvav Nisan, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated events that we would come out in a rush, we would shach the Korban Pesach on your Dalet, we'd eat it on Leil Tesvav. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated events in that fashion. With this idea, we can better understand an idea of the Barbanel. The Barbanel in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah, which is more of a contrast, in which he defends the position of the Rambam regarding the Yud Gimel Ikrim. He writes there that Chazal tell us, there's a couple of Medrashim which seem to suggest that the Osid Lava in the future, the Shodesh Regalim will be null and void. Betayin the Osid Lava. He says, but how can you say that? That goes against one of the tenets of our belief, that regarding the Torah, Shalei Torah Mukhlefes, Shalei Torah Acheres, the Torah is not subject to the passage of time. So if you say Shavuot Sukkos, and Pesach are not going to apply. So what's going to be with the 613 mitzvahs? We're going to be minus a number of mitzvahs. Says the Barbanel, that's not what Chazal meant. Of course, le'osid lave, we will still, there'll be aliyah l'regel, we will keep the mitzvahs, which are relevant to the various Yom Tovim. It's the reason why we keep them, that will no longer be applicable. As the Gemara says at the end of the first parak of Brachos, le'osid lave, the zeche yitzias mitzvahim will be tofel, and melchemesko gumagok shibul malchis, that will be the ikkah. So therefore the mitzvah is independent of the reason. Yes, today we keep these mitzvahs as a zeichel yitzias mitzrayim, says the Barbanel, but that doesn't mean to say that osi lover that has to be the reason. The mitzvah is there before the reason came about, and it will still be there even if that reason does not apply. Even if seemingly the reason changes. Like the Beis Halevi said, the din is there independent of the reason given for it. The din is mechayev the mitzias, says the Beis Halevi. There's a famous story told in different, slightly different versions of it, but in the Mechon Chasam Sofer version of the Shagas Shuvas of the Shagas Aryeh, so they tell there a Maisa regarding somebody who lived in Velozhin, that he had some problems with his lungs, so he decided maybe a change of scenery, change of setting, he was going to move somewhere else. That night, his father, who had passed on already from this world, came to him in a dream and he said to him, you should stay where you are. Because you've got a lesion on your lung, and it's the result, it's what we call a sircha on the rail, it's the result of some sort of makor on the lung, which is, and it's connecting it to the sort of the side, the dofer. And as long as you live in Velozhin they follow the psak of the Shagas Aryeh, that such a condition does not render a person a trefer, you will live. But if you move outside of Velozhin, there they are not noig like the psak of the Shagas Aryeh. There they rule that such a condition renders the animal, or the human being in this case, will be rendered a trefer. A trefer will not live more than 12 months. He told them to stay there. The Torah is the Machai of the Metzias. So it's told in different settings, but that's the basic idea. In a similar sense, I don't think that's quite what Rav Dessler is saying here as of yet, but it's a similar idea here. Says Rav Dessler, it doesn't really bother me what the Metzias is. Chazal explained it according to their understanding of their times. I say it like that because I don't believe for a minute that Rav Dessler meant to say that Chazal were dependent on the Chachmei Azman. There's kama rayos throughout Shas that show that Chazal did not, their knowledge of science did not depend on the knowledge of the time. You only have to look at the Gemara in Brachos, which tells us the number of stars and galaxies in the world. No one knew of such a thing at that time. Look back at all the books of the great philosophers. They didn't know anything like this. It's only in today, in the last 10 years, they've begun to come round to the sort of numbers that Chazal are talking about. Another example, you look at the anatomy of the animal in Chulin. For example, in Daf Mem Zayin, Amud Aleph in Chulin, it talks about the lung having two lobes on the left and three lobes on the right. You look back at the great philosophers, Galen and all these, they talk about three on this side, three on this side, or two on this side, two on that side. They didn't know of such a thing till the middle of the 16th century. Then suddenly they realized, you know what? Chazal are actually right. There are two and three. Until then they looked at it, they thought Chazal had got it all wrong. If Chazal were dependent on the knowledge of that time, they wouldn't have been writing these things. Rather, it's very possible that Chazal explained it in terms of the popular understanding of their times. Perhaps that's what Rav Dessler means. But leading from there is another possibility, and that is the idea of Shinui HaTeva. Shinui HaTeva is something you find in the Rishonim. For example, you've got Gemaras in Gittin, 2.5 blots of it, you've got Gemaras in Avodah Zarah, Gemaras in Shabbos, which talk about refuahs, various remedial sort of ideas for various conditions and illnesses. We're not allowed to practice them today, with the exception of one or two. Already, they say, why not? The reason is because of Shinui HaTeva. Already the Baalei Tosfos say because of Shinui HaTeva. And if you practice them, they won't work. You'll ridicule Chazal. They don't necessarily work today. So perhaps you could have said Shinui HaTeva. And I actually found that Ayeres HaShachar, that Rav Shteyman, Zich Tzadik Livracha, that's the way he took on. He suggested as well, it could be that yes, once upon a time, there was such a thing as spontaneous generation. And 2,000 years on, we don't know of such a thing. I mean, it's not quite 2,000 years on before they discovered this. But it could be there is a Shinui HaTeva. Now, if there is a Shinui HaTeva, does that change the halacha? The answer is, once again, a resounding no. The Chazon Ish was asked regarding a case, the Gemara says in Yevamos, that if a person, somebody comes across a man who is what's called Meguyot, he's cut up with lacerations all over his body and much worse. So we say that there's no way he could survive such a condition. One can go and be married to his wife, that the husband is dead, and she can go and get remarried. Based on that, you don't actually have to see him dead. So the Chazon Ish was asked, well, what about today? If a person sees a man lying there after a terrible accident, he's definitely meguyot. But today we know with the progression of medicine that they would be able to operate, they would be able to heal him. Would you still be able to give such an edus? So the Chazon Ish first turns to a different question. And he says, well, look, you've got at the beginning of the third perek of Chulin a list of 18 conditions which render an animal trefa. 18 conditions. You find, for example, an animal who the leg is severed below or above the arkuva, above the knee. So it says that if it's below the knee, the animal can survive. If it's above the knee, the animal is a trefa. What's the definition of a trefa? If it's the Gemara concludes, if it's an akeva, it's an animal which cannot have children. If it's a zohar, if it's a male, it will not live out 12 months. Today, we don't know of such a thing. An animal, or a human being for that matter, where the leg is severed above the arkuva, can survive. So what does that mean? Today, if you had such a condition in an animal, you'd be able to eat it. It's not a trefa. He says, no way. And he says, let me explain to you why. He says, it's mavua. We know Shlomo HaMelech, he wrote a sefer called the Sefer Refuos. And in this Sefer Refuos, there was a refuah for each and every single condition that could exist. That was the Matthias. In the Sefer Refuos, there's no makor, there's no condition which does not have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't create a makor below refuah. But Chizkiyahu HaMelech, as Chazal tell us, he saw the people were putting their trust more in the Sefer Refuos than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore Gonas, he put it away. And in fact, it's one of the three things that he was praised for by Chazal. Fine. Says the Chazon Ish, throughout the Torahs, certain refuahs have been revealed, and certain refuahs, which perhaps once upon a time they knew of, have been taken, have eluded us now. But every single condition has a refuah. So what made Chazal decide that those 18 conditions in that first Mishnah, these should be the 18 trefas. But all of these have a refuah, and with the passage of time, some of the refuahs will become revealed. So he says, the pshat is like this. Once again, it comes back to the same yesod we mentioned earlier. The Torah is the absolute science, Matthias is the variable. Meaning to say that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided in the 2,000 years of Torah, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf Tes, that there were 2,000 years of Tohu, 2,000 years of Torah, and then there will be 2,000 years of Moshiach. In that 2,000 years of Torah, though the time of Chasimas HaTalmud, when the Gemara, when they concluded what the halakha would be, that was the time which would be the deciding factor. If the animal in that time could not survive, then it's rendered a trefa. Meaning to say, if I understand it correctly, that this is the Ratzon of Hashem. This is the halacha. These 18 conditions render an animal a trefa. Now yes, in order that Chazal should know what condition HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be a trefa, in order that we should have some sort of understanding why these 18 conditions are not others, the Metzias was pre-programmed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that time that these 18 conditions should not be curable. But Lamaisa, the halacha is not dependent on that, says the Chazon Ish. And therefore, if there's a Shinui HaTeva, if there is certain things, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals the refuah to it, that's irrelevant. Everything has a refuah anyway. And therefore, the Torah is independent of the change in Metzias, and therefore the halacha will not change. The interesting thing is, though, he then turns back to his original Shayla and he says, but don't be made on this husband, because the Metzias may show that the husband may, obviously he could turn up. He said, that's a slightly different case. We're not going into that today. I mean, there is quite a well-known story with Ramosha Feinstein. A woman once came to him, and she said, I don't know what to do. I got remarried. I was an aguna. I got remarried. I had a heter from a certain very, very great Choshev Rav, who looked into my case. He was mate aguna. He allowed me to get remarried. And guess what? My husband, my first husband's turned up. So Ramosha Feinstein, he was quite agitated. He said, tell me the details. And she tells him over the story, and then he says, tell me again. And she tells it again. He's getting more and more agitated. This is not the way Ramosha normally reacted. And he was getting more and more agitated each time. And at a certain point, he just says, it can't be. And he was putting it together. He never normally got so upset. And he sort of lashed out. He said, you're lying. You're lying. He says, in all my time, when I've been Matir Agunas, and I can't remember the number he talked, whether it was 100, we're talking about a large number. He says, not once has the husband turned up. And now you're telling me this Chosh of a Rav. He says, this Chosh of a Rav, it should happen to him. It cannot be. And at that point, she broke down and she said, you're right, I'm lying. This Rav never was Matir. I decided myself, he seemed to have disappeared. I surmised he'd died, and I went and got married. You're absolutely right. Rav Moshe said, if one follows the halacha, as Chazal give it to us, you don't have to fear anymore. What if? You don't have to worry about that. But I'll call upon him coming back to what's Nagea to us. This is the second possibility. We've got the first two possibilities. Possibility number one is, the halacha is the halacha. You got a problem with the explanation? No, it doesn't have to fit. The halacha is the starting point and will not change. The next possibility, which is really an offshoot of that, is it could be there's been a shinui in teva. It could be that once upon a time there was such a thing as spontaneous generation. But again, it's irrelevant whether the metzias has changed. A third possibility, and that is what's called the sub-visual concept. And this you'll find that Rav Shlomo Zalman, this was his suggestion, is we know there's a concept in halacha that we look and we only go by what the eye can see. You don't have to worry about the tiny microbes and bacteria that there may be in food. You don't have to worry about that. When Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked about tefillin, how do you measure the ribuah of the tefillin, the squareness of the tefillin? He says you go by what you can see. If it looks square to you, that's merubah. You don't have to worry about anything more than that. So therefore, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Ulai, he says maybe, since to the eye, we're talking about such small creatures, to them they couldn't have perceived a sense of period viridia. Maybe therefore that's not deemed in the terminology of Chazal as being period viridia. Again, we follow what the eye can see, and that determines what we consider to be the metzias. The difficulty with this is that would fit with perhaps would fit better with the shita of Rabbi Yosef Meorlins and the Rabbeinu Hananel, who say that what Chazal were talking about when they said you can kill this on Shabbos is a flea. You see, because flea eggs are apparently something like 1/50th of an inch in length. So you can barely see that. So therefore you could say yes to the naked eye, you couldn't see the eggs, they wouldn't have been able to perceive any period of viridia. But the lice, we know, you look at the hair, you can see the eggs. You can see the nits. So therefore to say the roughly, I think, 1/10th of an inch, you can see it. So therefore it's much more difficult. Nonetheless, Rav Moshe Meiselman, in his Sefer, he goes along with the same thing. He subsequently heard that Rav Shlomo Zalman had posited the same sort of idea. And he basically wants to prove, and I'm not going into details, now you can take a look there for yourself if you want, but he likes this idea, and he wants to suggest that yes, of course, people could see the nits, and they could see the adult lice, but they weren't able to put two and two together. They didn't necessarily connect, and he brings rise from it, from the writings of the great philosophers, they didn't necessarily see the connection, the correlation between the two. They thought, yes, there's eggs which are laid, and then there's also just this idea of the adult emerging spontaneous generation. It could be that was the way it was perceived. This is basically the third theory. The third theory is that it could be that Chazal knew there was no such thing as spontaneous generation. It could be they never meant to suggest spontaneous generation. That's not the Lashon of the Gemara. We've simply misunderstood what Chazal meant when they said it's not Pora Barova. Using that same line of thinking, we could perhaps suggest an answer to a slightly different twist. And that's based on an idea of the Meshech Chochmah. The Meshech Chochmah says in Parshas, I think it's Lech Lecha, Parshas Noach. He says on the Pasuk, he says that after Noach comes out of the table, he brings the Rambam in Morin Avochim, where the Rambam says that all these types of vermin, they were not part of the actual Tachlis HaBriah. Meaning to say, the way I'm going to put it into my own words now, what that means to say is if the Briah were to follow according to the way it was designed, meaning to say that man towed the line, everything followed its natural course, then the vermin would not come about. There wouldn't be the sense of degeneration. Forget the spontaneous generation. There wouldn't be degeneration. There wouldn't be rotten meat. There wouldn't be this, call it lack of hygiene. No, I don't mean physical hygiene. And therefore the kinim would not come about. Aruroho adoma ba'avurecho, says Rashi. Once mankind sinned, therefore, Aruroha Adama Ba'avurecha, says Rashi, the land will now be Maleh all these parashim and all these sort of things, which otherwise, the Mefarshim and Bedai, by the way, doesn't say that it would be now a new creation. That's not what it says. The land will now be ma'aleh. It will bring up what was lying low. All these sort of these microbes, they wouldn't have been, the bacteria, that wouldn't have been around. But because of the sin, now there is a sense of degeneration. There will be rotting meat. There will be this perspiration, but again, maybe not in a physical sense, and therefore these things will come about. Says the Meshech Hoffman, as I said, he doesn't quite put it like that, but therefore he says, now you understand why you're allowed to kill lice on Shabbos. Because this is not really part of the Taklis Habriyah. It's not, when I say Taklis Habriyah, of course it's the Rotson of Hashem. But it's not the way it should have been in Plan A. The Issur of Netilas Neshama is to take away what is a positive step in the in sort of not just mankind, in the Bria. That you, to take it to regress, that you're not allowed to do. But to take away these minim, which really shouldn't have been there, that there's no issue. That's the rationale he wants to suggest. Is that I've taken it slightly out of context. But it could well be that that's the connection between the eighth Maimar and the third Makom. When our Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, it was all lemino, leminoi, leminehu. And it stresses that after Vayemerikim Tetze Oret, every single min, the Chayas Oret, lemino. Behema, lemino. Again, according to each one, there's a Seder. And after that, you've got the domain, you've got the tzemeach, the mineral, you've got the plant life, you've got the Bali Chayim. You've then got Naaseh Adam at the top of this ecosystem. Sitting at the top of this pyramid, there's a Seder Advarim. And if everything toes the line and it works like clockwork, all the cogs turning together, then the world will run its course and everything will just run beautifully. There won't be any rotting meat. There won't be any of this degeneration. You won't have any kinim in the likes. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to Paro and said that because of the likes of you, the Gidur HaRoyis, the days of Mitzrayim, the breakdown in society, everything just hefgeros, that's the reason why there is this kinim. That's why you get this breakdown in society, the sense of degeneration. That's the result of that is kinim. That was the connection between the two. We could take that idea further. That may well be why the Khartoumim were not able to create it, but it's not for now. I'll run out of time. So I just want to finish. We've had three theories so far. Possibility number one is, like Rav Dessler said, that's the halacha. Finish. We're not really bothered whether it fits with the Matthias or it doesn't. You go see what you can do with it. Possibility number two, which is a spin-off of that, is that maybe there's been a Shinui in Teva. Rav Shteyman wanted to take on that. There's been a Shinui in Teva, but it doesn't change the halacha. Possibility number three is, we've simply misunderstood what Chazal determined to be por of a rova. They never said spontaneous generation. Within that, you could say it's a subvisual theory, it could be something else. But whichever one of these three theories you take, the halacha does not change. There's one last possibility, and that is, it occurred to me that you could well say, maybe we've simply got the wrong men. Maybe we're assuming that the headlines we're talking about, maybe that's not what Chazal had in mind when they talked about lice. Now you may say, come on, there's a bit of a cop-out. I mean, what's the likelihood of that? But I'll tell you something, none less than Rashi. Rashi does this in Maseches Chulin. The Gemara there on that Nun Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara is going through the various simonim. In fact, it says there's one real determining sign with an animal to determine whether it's a chaya or a behemoth. If it's a chaya, then it needs kisi adam. If it's a chaya, you're allowed to eat the chaylev. There's kulis and chumras. How do I know if an animal, how can I determine if it's a chaya? And the Gemara says the telltale signs are in the horns. And the Gemara says, if the horns are mufut solis, according to the Gerasa we've got, Rashi's got, if they're forked, then it's a chaya. If not, not necessarily so. So the Gemara says, but what about the tzvi? The tzvi, its horns are not mufut solis, and yet we're allowed to eat its chaylev. It's a chaya. So Rashi says, what are you talking about? The tzvi, the deer? Its horns are not mufut solis? Of course they're forked. What are you talking about? So Rashi says, you know what? It must be that what we call the tzvi and what they call the tzvi are two different things. And Rashi surmises, he says, it could be what Chazal has in mind with the tzvi is the ibex. It's something else. And there's countless examples of this. You find, and this is obviously where modern Hebrew messes things up, when it comes to the Moshel Tzov. And I've seen this in Gedolei HaPoskim. They still talk about the Tzov, the halachos with the Tzov, in terms of a tortoise. That's because of modern Hebrew. But we know today that, I mean, not just today, as Rabbi Falk points out, Tzov is not a tortoise, it's a toad. Rashi says it in countless, well, I wouldn't say countless, but in many places Rashi says it's a toad. If you misidentify it, of course you're going to end up with the wrong conclusion. The problem is that it's highly unlikely in this case, because there's a world of difference. Over there, Rashi was able to say, it's not this, it's probably this. If it's not the deer, then it's the ibex. But over here, if it's not our head lice, which one is it? The whole idea of spontaneous generation, we don't know of a single min which comes about through spontaneous generation. So obviously it's far more difficult to posit such an idea. Nonetheless, many poskim, such as Rabbi Yashiv, were choshish for such a svara, and therefore they conclude that one should really be mafne and one should not kill lice on Shabbos. Rabbi Yashiv, various others take on like that. Nonetheless, there is a large school, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, you find Rabbi Shlomo Zalman is quoted as well. Also, he said halacha does not change. The halacha is like we've said, you don't have to be choshish, the min has we've got the wrong min. And even Rabbi Yashiv, in Aruch HaShabbos, they say that they heard from Rabbi Yashiv that in the case of a child who is very irritated and is in pain because of it, you can be makel, because me'ikah din, definitely me'ikah din, the halacha does not change, and therefore it is 100% mutter to kill the lice. Be'ezat Hashem, we should be zeicher to the day when Moshiach comes and everything returns to working like clockwork, like kodem achet, and then Be'ezat Hashem will be ridded of all these types of minim, and the world will just proclaim, Gidei Kaved Malchus Shamayim.